Hi André, I'm very happy that you are here. Please tell us who you are and what you do.
First of all, thanks for joining. I know we planned for a while to meet up. Now we finally have the chance. André Borchert, I'm part of SAP's product management organization, and I'm responsible together with my team to drive the product success of our automation solution.
Nice. And could you tell a little bit what makes you so passionate about your job?
I think I've always been passionate about if you apply technology to a problem or bring technology and people into a mix. I have a career mostly in technology. You won't believe it. It's now more or less 20 years being with SAP. Always in the technology space, first starting in analytics, sales, pre-sales, solution advisory. And I always enjoyed applying technology innovations and technology functionalities to a business problem, right? And that is what excites me about the opportunity to talk about process automation in the context of SAP, because for us, processes are the backbone of what we provide to our customers, and optimizing them, extending them, and automating them, I think is very exciting.
Mm-hmm. And if the, let's say, university André would hear you speak today and talk about your passion, what would that be in line with what he wanted back then?
It's funny. I mean, then we have to look into what I actually studied. I studied electrical engineering, bringing energy to the people. And ultimately, it was nice learning to do very tough mathematics and physics and stuff like that. But I always enjoyed, you know, doing presentations on subjects, on projects. That's why I very quickly went into software space and started as a software sales. So I kind of enjoyed a very technical university education, but then quite quickly went into the software side and into the selling side and the value proposition side. So I deviated a bit, but I'm very happy about the education I got down there.
Cool. And it's also building things in the end. So I guess that's still what you are doing, and quite some parallels.
Exactly. So maybe you're hinting already towards the branding of our portfolio. You're absolutely right. It's about building and creating software extensions, software applications, and software processes. So yeah, you create, based on technology, something that helps someone else run their business, run it better, run it more efficient, or help someone actually deploy a business model, right? So yeah, building, creating, definitely makes a lot of fun.
And then, André, SAP is a big organization with a lot of positions and different departments and also parts of the organization. And I looked it up on LinkedIn, and your exact title is Vice President, Head of Product Innovation, Engagement, Success, SAP Build Process Automation. And what does it mean? Can you maybe decrypt the title? What does it mean?
Certainly I can, and I think I have to. I don't know what was on my mind when I was putting out. I think it's a bit in the DNA of people trying to tell everything they do, right? And then you end up with titles like that. But ultimately, I'm part of the product management organization. We're part of our engineering organization. By the way, our board member that leads engineering, Jürgen Müller, is also based here out of Berlin on the 13th floor. And within product management, we have a function which is called product success, right? So that is me and my team, or my team and I, are focusing on making sure we have a successful adoption of the product within our customers. That requires us to do a lot of, you could call it the function outbound product management. So we do a lot of messaging, we do awareness, we do community work. We also do value propositions and messaging. And ultimately, we also go and talk to customers a lot about deploying our software in the context of their use case, and also partners. And that is for us all the capabilities that we provide in order to have a successful adoption of the product. But ultimately, because we have these touch points with partners, with customers, but also with our ecosystem, right? It's like influencers, analysts, communities, consultants, we get a lot of feedback. So we hear how the software is performing, if there is features missing, what customers want to innovate, and we also roll these features back in and discuss with our engineering organization how we can basically drive the next level of capabilities of innovation. So it's rolling out the product, learning, rolling in again.
Mm-hmm. So it's basically the connection point between the product team and the customer success, and also
exactly
like this. Okay, exactly. But those teams also exist. So you
exactly. I'm not in the sales department. Mm-hmm. I'm not an account manager, but we work very closely with our account mm-hmm. teams, going to their customers, assuring the product success. Right, mm-hmm. but these functions still exist, and there's also an engineering organization that actually does mm-hmm. the engineering and the coding of the product. But we're the intermediate message broker, so to say. We roll it out and we roll back in.
Yeah, super important. And then we have more the clarified where you stand in the SAP Build organization, but could you tell me a little bit more about SAP Build process automation? How is it, or where is it located in the market, and what makes it unique?
Yeah, so first of all, SAP Build process automation is SAP's automation technology as part of a broader low-code, no-code portfolio. And that is what you rightfully said is what we find under the umbrella or the brand of SAP Build, right? I also wear the hoodie, I'm a builder, mm-hmm. and that portfolio is addressing the so-called citizen developer, right? Or people that are non-IT professionals, but have an affinity and an ability to use technology. And in that portfolio, you have three elements. One of them is process automation. The other one is build apps for building applications and application extensions, and it's build work zone for business sites. And all of that is the low-code, no-code portfolio that addresses the citizen developer. The build portfolio itself is part of SAP's business technology platform. That's the underlying technology and foundation layer of which SAP is using for integration, extension, and innovation. You also find analytical capabilities there. You find integration capabilities there. You also find AI capabilities there. And we use this platform to extend and enrich SAP's application scope and ultimately want our customers to become an intelligent enterprise, mm-hmm. using technology in the right business context, be more efficient, right, and also sustainable from a resourcing perspective. So technology as an enabler, built as an important portfolio for SAP, but also for our SAP customers. And if you talk about the market, SAP Build as a portfolio was launched into the market, I think, exactly 1 year ago at TechEd 2022. I know that because tomorrow is actually TechEd 23, where we also have some exciting news that I might be able to talk about, because I guess this will be airing after tomorrow, so I can give you a bit of a sneak peek. And so we're in the market for a year with the portfolio, but the including services have a much longer history at SAP, because for a very long time we had a classical RPA tool called Intelligent RPA. We had a classical powerful workflow tool called SAP Workflow Management, and other capabilities that we now brought together in this low-code no-code portfolio to help customers to capitalize on that citizen developer opportunity. Mm-hmm. And if you take a look at these situations from our customers, limited IT budgets, scarce resourcing, that certainly hits the nerve of many of our customers.
And now, when you talk about this, also the portfolio of SAP Build, also maybe interesting for the ones who listen to us, what's the differentiators to other automation solutions like UiPath, or also the Microsoft Power Platform, because for me it sounds quite provoking, said quite similar from a product module standpoint. Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, when you take a look at the name, right? I mean, we're doing process automation, others also doing process automation. I believe SAP has a unique position to look at this more holistically, right? I mean, we celebrated our 50th birthday one year ago, exactly. So SAP for more than 15 years is in the business of automating, right? Digitizing mm-hmm. business processes. And with this comes, I believe, a vast amount of expertise on line of business processes, on industry processes that we can now certainly leverage, right? And if you talk about atypical customers around the globe, you will find many of them using SAP for their core business processes. And since we know them quite well, we can leverage that domain expertise. Mm-hmm. And you find that in various different flavors. You find that in the best practice, mining and benchmarking, which we, for example, do on the Signavio side, right? You find that, for example, in how we leverage our technical business semantics in the context of the processes, right? Event match, SAP graph is translating the technical capabilities of the underlying application into the business context, which makes it easier to leverage and to use, especially also for citizen developers. And last but not least, it's content. We see content and RPA and workflow package as a huge enabler for fast and quick outcomes. Because when you look at the automation market, and I guess you know it better than I do because you have the industry view on it, why do these projects fail? Why don't they scale, right? How do you get to the point of customers better capitalizing on that opportunity? And if you have pre-packaged content based on your own applications and the experience, that can give a fast start. And I believe these are three examples where we certainly differentiate to the likes of UiPath or also Microsoft that might come more from a user productivity standpoint. But nevertheless, it might also make sense to partner with them in one or the other area because they're also bringing something to the table.
Yeah. Also, to me, it sounds reasonable what you say, especially so many companies using SAP and also a lot of implementing S/4HANA, for example. Then it, from an outside perspective, it would make sense to also use SAP tools to integrate with other SAP technologies, for example.
Exactly. Yeah. And then while this makes a lot of sense, I mean, we're not just doing automation for SAP technology, but that's what we know best and that's what we are very good at. And that's also, I believe, how we can really capitalize on the automation opportunity, because what we feel is, or what we want to achieve also with the build portfolio, is we want to be natively integrated in the application. We don't want an HR user to jump into an automation tool. No, you have it embedded in the HR process to use best practices to drive a much different experience, right? We call this a guided experience. In the back end, it's our technology. I think, and SAP's idea here is that way we can bring automation natively to a business user and into the context of the application without having them to build externally in a different tool. So embedding the experience in line of business applications. And you just mentioned it. I mean, S4 being SAP's flagship ERP product in the cloud is the target state that many of our existing customers are aiming to go to, right? They want to capitalize on the innovative capabilities of cloud solutions, but they might come out of an on-premise world, right? So they're all now looking into how can I get my old ECC business suite on-premise world into the cloud, right? How can I find new innovative capabilities? And then we talk about, let's analyze what you have right now. That's where Signavio comes into the game. Let's map it into our process capabilities in the cloud. And let's get rid of all the customization you have built into your on-premise solution because you had to bend it over to your own needs, because these customizations and extensions you can now put in a parallel mode on a cloud platform, right? Because this way you get your core clean and you can faster capitalize on innovation cycles, right? And that's then your opportunity for portfolios like SAP Build to have these custom extensions, automations, or whatever you want to call it, basically outside of your core. So you will hear the term clear and core quite a lot for customers that go on a journey towards an S/4HANA cloud system.
And then what you can also read in the press, what is for me super interesting and I always like about the automation industry as well, is that there's a lot of collaboration and that you are also collaborating, for example, with UiPath, but also with Microsoft. How is this looking like and what is the reason for that?
Yeah, I think for that it's important to understand when SAP looks at automation, and we until here only talked about our pure process automation tooling called SAP Build Process Automation. SAP has launched, I would call it a vision, but also a framework which we call enterprise automation, right? So you have to take a much broader look at automation than just task automation, than just AI, than just workflow, right? And that is, I mean, Gartner will call it hyper automation, we call it enterprise automation. And that's brought us to the conclusion we have to combine different technologies to really have an end-to-end automation framework that allows you to analyze, transform and automate and integrate in a coherent way. And that is what we call enterprise automation. And it includes three components. One is the Signavio transformation suite, which is absolutely crucial because it gives us the insights, right? And also the mining capabilities to understand how currently the processes are running in customers. Then we have SAP Build as the low-code, no-code automation portfolio to capture on the automation opportunity that might have been identified. But we're also market leader in integration platforms with SAP Integration Suite, right? And that way we can now really leverage mining, bots, so to say, workflows, and system integration and go away from these, I would call it islands of technology, right? Because I'm sure you know that if you go at the customer, you have a few bots here, there's a bit of a workflow here, but who is capitalizing end-to-end? So that's what we do in combining those three solutions and having an enterprise automation framework. But to answer your question, it would be not acknowledging the reality to say every automation capability you find at a customer is only SAP technology. No, SAP is serving the largest customers globally, and it's just normal that you find, first of all, other technologies, automation vendors, AI capabilities, where we say, hey, listen, you've done your investments in these technologies. Why don't we capitalize on that? Keep your existing investment. You see value in also automating with our technology. Why don't we integrate? Why don't we allow you to capitalize on what we call an open ecosystem? And in that ecosystem, you find various players, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you just mentioned UiPath, which we recently entered into a multi-year partnership with. It starts currently on a go-to-market side by co-selling and co-positioning ourselves, but it will extend into in a more deeper collaboration. We also have existing innovation partnerships with Microsoft for many years, right? I mean, we're based on Azure data centers. When you talk about task automation, there's always some degree of office, right? And we can also imagine that going forward, integrating deeper with Power Automate capabilities to have Microsoft on user productivity automation, but they also want to extend this into SAP processes and into enterprise-grade application. And this is where a partnership makes sense. But we're not stopping with UiPath and with Microsoft. I mean, we have already existing integrations with Google in their Office World workspace, into Vertex AI. And I guess you also have seen maybe some of the recent announcements, especially in the AI space, what we do with Data Robot or maybe with Aleph Alpha. So we have to be open to third-party technologies, make them part of the ecosystem, and integrate with them, and then go to a customer and have a more holistic approach and say, you have investments, here's how you can combine it and capitalize on a bigger portion of the automation cake, so to say.
Yeah. What I really like about, so from an outside perspective, it really looks that Microsoft came from this perspective of the user productivity, right, from the Microsoft world. You come from the IT backbone of the company where you have the biggest portion, and then there's UiPath that sat on top as a newer player that came up only in the last couple of years. I mean, they are also not a very new company, but of not newer than Microsoft or SAP, and that's I think it's an interesting dynamic also that
and everyone brings something to the table, right? We have this SAP application, ERP backbone, process knowledge. You have Microsoft with the user productivity tools. And guess what? In every SAP customer, you find Microsoft Office 360. We use it ourselves, right? So how can we capitalize on that opportunity to integrate with the Office products, with Teams, but also with SharePoint and other capabilities? Only if you do that, you can really capture this opportunity for your customers. So it would be stupid to close the eyes that there's not other technology players at customers, right?
Encountered also at customers a lot of that say we have the Microsoft SAP first strategy. So they have those two, and then they say it should be either or, and very hard for new software to come in.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay, and then we already touched on the SAP world and how you located in the SAP world, but can you explain a little bit more on how do you collaborate with the S4HANA team, for example, or how do you collaborate with Signavio, and where are you located as SAP Build?
And I think that is also what makes potentially our technology unique, because I mentioned about the integration into the semantics and into the backbone of the applications. That's one thing. But for example, our content packages, they are developed by our line of business application engineering teams. So if you find an S4HANA bot on our bot store, it natively comes from our S4HANA team. Why? Because first of all, they have decided what they have as a standard process scope, and they also know where there is an automation opportunity, and they develop that content. So it comes natively from actually the system and application that knows most about it. And that is, I think, what makes our portfolio very rich, that our S4 line of business colleagues are developing content that allows us to automate and extend their applications. So the product we're owning lives and also dies, right, with the contribution from the application side. So that's the collaboration with the S4HANA and Lob side. And for example, I forgot to mention that, maybe we can do a little bit of marketing here. If you're an S4 customer who recently invested in an S4 license, we're bundled in there. Mm. We're basically, I'm not saying given away for free, but we also found out that if you want to capitalize on the automation opportunity, you have to give the customers an amount of scope from your solutions embedded in your ERP system so they can try it out, right? They can deploy it, they can get the appetite, they can generate the first advancements by using embedded commercial capabilities. And if they once capitalize on the opportunity, we can then still ask our account team, go in there and do a bigger license deal. So we are shipped with S4HANA Rise and Grow, and every customer has access to it. But you mentioned a partnership that is very, very unique, I believe, internally at SAP. I mean, now for more than 2 years, 2.5 years, we now have the Signavians on board, and we're very appreciative of that partnership, not just because they're great colleagues, but they bring a piece of software or a piece of technology that, right, is like brother and sister to our portfolio, so to say. Because with their business process transformation, let's call it suite, they are exactly in helping customers to go from an old legacy system into the cloud and do transformation by redesigning processes. So they're the ones that do the mining and the insights to the as-is and to-be state. So they're like, I mean, they're giving us the leads, they're giving us the insights, what customer needs. So we can then basically help build that out in our platform. And there is already existing very strong integration points between the two solutions. I don't know how good you know the Signavio portfolio, but there's two solutions to point out here. And one is the Process Insights, right? Which can give automated recommendations of automation potential that we have prepared in predefined content, right? So content packages for workflows, content packages for RPA bots. So that's an immediate automation opportunity a customer can lift if you do Signavio insights to the recommendation of automation packages on an automation platform. But that's just, you know, finding standardized, repetitive challenges we see at customers that we have capitalized on content packages. But if you then go into the process intelligence side, which is really the mining of the processes, right? Where's deviations? Why do they deviate? What is a process runtime? And you more or less identify, let's say, a customer-specific individual problem where we don't have standard content. We can then give that as an action trigger into our software build process automation, and you can right away there then define a process that helps you to, or an automation that helps you to solve that problem, or build an app on it, or build an extension on it. And I think if we now fast forward in the future in the area of generative AI, or what we call a process AI, this is where the next level of advancements can be achieved, right? Then having generative AI proposing a potential automation solution to an identified problem. So Signavio is one of the closest team we work with, but also our line of business and S4 colleagues. So you're asking the right question.
Yeah. And for SAP Signavio, I believe you also look into this big end-to-end processes. But I want to also get a little bit closer to this citizen development topic. You also said in the beginning that you want to enable everyone basically to build something. How is that working? So how is, if for example this SAP build gets bundled into S4HANA, how does someone in finance then is using SAP build?
Yeah. So first of all, I mean, we started with the launch of SAP build to have specific capabilities that are easy enough to use for someone who's not a professional developer, right? So, but I also want to make clear that I don't see it black and white, right? Mm-hmm. Because I had discussions about, this is for citizen developers. If you want to use it, I have to be a citizen developer. No, I want to go away from that discussion. Ultimately, SAP says we have builders in nearly every employee, but everyone has different skill sets, right? Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure we serve different skill sets, right? There's the professional IT developer, there's the ABAP developer, and there's now a new bunch of people that is able to also build stuff if you give them capabilities that are simple to use. And we're going to address that with the build portfolio, right? But I don't want to see this is the bucket and this is for you and that's the bucket and that is for you. Because when we talk to professional developers, we also identify they also like simple tools, right? So it's not a black and white. But you're absolutely right. Now we're shipping the software to our S4 customers. How do we put it into use, right? I mean, first of all, put it into use could come via, I'm using Signavio and I'm giving you recommendations, right? But what we also do a lot of the times is for customers to get started is we do custom specific hackathons, right? You might see, okay, I have a couple of people sitting in the finance department. They have affinity. They have a skill set. They could do it. But you still have to figure out how far they could go with that skill set, right? So we are, as a team also, do a lot of adoption events or do hackathons where we really see, okay, first of all, what's your ideation and use case? What's your skill set? And then you have to also work with that company about how do you want to drive citizen development in your organization, right? And that's, I mean, you know it, it's about not just technology, it's about people, processes, and governance around it. And we find various different ways where, for example, you have a very strong IT department that is very restrictive, so only a few capabilities are given to those colleagues and are strongly managed, and other companies are going in and say, we trust our citizen developers, here's the tooling, but we need to have a certain governance process before we deploy it, we want to do the technical check and those type of things. So it's various ways of approaching it. I would say it would be a mistake not to do it, but I think it needs to be closely discussed with the customer, with their citizen developers, and also with the IT department. So it's a lot of a change process that you also see. You don't just throw, I would say, the tool over the fence and then you say good luck, right?
Okay. So it's still important to have someone in the IT or SAP team who governs the whole thing, and it's not like I go I click on an icon and then I can build my own finance app or HR.
No, I mean, it's different if you really truly embed the experience into the finance way of working, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we also do with our technology. We embed it into that application. So nobody needs to go to SAP Build Process Automation, open a process canvas. We want these business users to be guided through what they might need. And then they get proposed a couple of choices, what they want to do in a core set that gives them the ability to solve problems, but not go totally over the edge, right? Yeah. But you're absolutely right. And even the concept of, you might know it, RPA COE still exists or is rejuvenated for citizen development, right? So you still have to have a focal point for enablement, right? Just because it's low code or no code doesn't mean no skill. There's skills that you need to have in order to use the tool that you have to gain. There's the process of ideation to use case to deployment that needs to be managed. And if you want to have citizen developers that are can be everywhere in your company. You also need to actively manage that as a community. And these things mm-hmm. you find quite often to be centralized in citizen development COEs. We've done a lot of work here, for example, one of our customers, Freudenberg, that have deployed such COE structures. But ultimately, that's then an organizational setup the customers have to do. We provide a bit of a guidance and also templating on how such a COE can look like and how you structure the information. We use our own technology, so we use SAP WorkZone to have citizen developer COE frameworks, which are then white labeled. We can roll them out and customers can use them. But ultimately, it's an organizational IT and governance setup that the customer have to deploy. And one customer is not like the other.
Yeah. And how, like in a concrete case, let's say someone took the finance example. Now let's take procurement. Maybe a procurement employee wants to build something, but this could have also been done by an SAP enhancement. And then you usually have this situation in a big enterprise. The procurement employee sees something that could be more efficient, goes to the IT, says or SAP team. This needs to be different. And then they say, oh yeah, you can put it into our demand funnel and we can take care 2027 of it because we have so much to do. Those teams are usually not big in comparison to the whole organization. And now this person would start to build something around it, which what could have been built natively into SAP. Where do you draw the line? What's your take on it?
Yeah, I mean, again, ultimately, it's the decision of the customer. But let's assume that's an S4 customer, right? So, and that is either on public or on private cloud. These are two different flavors, right? One is a public cloud environment with multiple customers, and one is a more private environment. So the degree of customization varies. But let's say on a public cloud, that is the main target for many of our customers, especially also the mid-market. There is a defined scope in every cloud release, right? So you know exactly, if you look in procurement, what is in scope right now that I'm using and what is coming in the next iteration and what is maybe coming in the next months. I mean, we're shipping cloud capabilities sometimes even on a bi-weekly base or on a monthly base. Usual rhythm is monthly. And you could at least say, okay, that user has this requirement and I know SAP will ship this in three months from now. Then you can go into a dialogue and say, hey, would it be sufficient for you if you provide a standard functionality? And they might say, okay, yes, it's okay. I can still handle my the way I'm doing it right now manually potentially, and I can wait for three more release cycles. Or no, my business need is so big, I have to fix it now. And then the question is, do you have the IT resources to do it? Or we allow you in a safe, governed environment to do that, let's say, extension or approval process or whatever yourself. So again, it comes down to the decision of the customer, how they want to manage. SAP has been transparent about the roadmap. So we give customers decision ground. Will it be a standard functionality? We give them a low-code, no-code tool to have it been done by the procurement guy himself. But the freedom of choice is then ultimately the decision power that resides with the customer, right?
And probably also education, so telling people what they should do with an app builder in build and what they shouldn't do. For example, probably not the best thing to build the KPI dashboard or something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's a good example.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Then I want to look a little bit into the future. And into your personal opinion about the future of process automation. Where do you see it going at the moment, also with all the discussions about generative AI?
I mean, if you take a look into where this is coming from, where it is now, and what might be the next iteration, I still remember, you know, last time we spoke also to Gartner about RPA is becoming a commodity. It's about end-to-end process automation. Then we talked about intelligent automation, so bringing intelligence into the automation space. We talked about intelligently using data with docs, right? Document information extraction. And now we're at the next, I would call it, wave of innovation. I don't know if it's fair to say it will disrupt the market or disrupt this technology space, but it certainly will take it to the next level, right? I mean, when we look into automation technologies, it's always measured against the degree of adoption in companies. And I hope you agree. I mean, we're from the industry. If you take a look at a customer, you always say, okay, you could do more, right? But how can you do more, right? And one thing is this hyper automation approach of combining technologies in a more coherent approach, what we do with enterprise automation. Second thing is you make the whole thing much easier to use, which is low code, no code, so more people can build. Then you accelerate via content. But now you have AI capabilities that can support you with the building of process chains, process artifacts, decision tables, whatsoever. And I can't wait to see it. I've seen first mock-ups, use cases, and actually tomorrow at TechEd in Bangalore, we will also launch, and I think I can talk about this here because the podcast will be aired afterwards.
Oh, nice.
Exactly. We will show how we will put generative AI into our automation and also application development portfolio. I guess you know that we very recently have launched what we call Joule, right? It's the so-called digital assistant, which allows a business user to interact with large language models applied to a business problem, right? You want to have a common interface that an end user engages with SAP system processes and data and applies generative AI capabilities. Now, we have invested in multiple partnerships. I guess you heard about what we do with Aleph Alpha, with funding, but there's others. We also have partnership with Data Robot, and they all bring various different, let's say, large language and AI models that we make available via what we call AI Foundation. So in our business technology platform, we want to have an AI foundation that gives us access to these data models that we then apply. Coming to process AI, that is now applying Joule as an assistant to build process automation. Mm-hmm. So you now have a natural language interface to Joule and can say, hey, listen, I need a process decision table with the following approvers, or I need a process flow which encapsulates the following details. And it generates this for you as a proposal. You can say, I want this, I don't want this, and you can deploy it. And we will launch this tomorrow at TechEd to be one of the next innovations we make available in process automation. But we will also add generative AI capabilities in our broader application development portfolio also for the professional developers, because mm-hmm. they can also very much harvest and be more productive to use generative AI capabilities. Yeah. So watch out the keynote tomorrow morning with Jürgen Müller. You get more of those details. And I think it will take automation to the next level because it again simplifies the building, because you know building a process model, even for an expert, requires some brain to be put into it. And it's also helping, I believe, with reducing errors, right? Or quicker come to a result. So I think it will take automation to the next level, and I'm excited to see it.
It's interesting what you describe as this part of using generative AI to build, which is from my perspective also the dimension that's super interesting on and enabling real no code. I would consider what is out there, no matter which tool, more as less code or
low,
low code, less code. Low, I think it's also not so accurate. I think it's just less, because it's still quite complex, but that's a personal opinion. And but with this generative AI approach, talking like a human to the machine, then it's really no code.
Exactly. So especially in the citizen developer area, I believe this can give the next leap in enabling again more people, more builders to build. So ultimately it allows to better capture the overall automation opportunity and hopefully leads to many more customers automating many more processes or tasks and capitalize on that opportunity.
That's exciting. And the other dimension I want to ask you about, building generative AI into the solution. So not talking through generative AI to the solution, but also what is possible with generative AI or large language models and machine learning within the processes.
I mean, now we can get out the glass bowl. I feel the opportunities are endless, right? Also, if you think about, I mean, we talked about how we integrate and collaborate with Signavio, right? I mean, you could also, you know, really now go to the mining of this is how you use it right now, and let really the machine propose to you how you could redesign this process based on best practices, based on competitive information, on, I don't know, I think the opportunity is so endless. But I think what's also a good idea to look into this, on, I need to line on the 6th to 8th of November, we have the Business Process Transformation Forum here in Berlin. So we have our Signavio colleagues also getting out there, showing the latest and greatest. And I also know, but I don't know the details, that they're cooking something up on this site. So potentially something we can look into either at the event or after the event. But nice. But I believe the opportunity is just huge. And we have to see how we capitalize it step by step without pushing too much on the customer, right? It still needs to be consumable, deployable, right, and actionable.
Yeah. What I find just so interesting about this development is that the whole AI topic can really disrupt the automation topic, because back then, a few weeks ago, you would fill out this process definition document where you see what is possible with automation, and then you would tick the checkbox with is the process, does it have structured data? And this very important part is now dissolving a little bit, and it's not so important anymore if it's structured data or not, because we built this capability to also transfer unstructured data into structured data.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Cool. That was fun for the content part. So what we looked at, a lot of things, like it was really a journey around the SAP world and what SAP Build is doing. We also looked at the market landscape where you fit in. We looked into the SAP landscape where you fit in. We talked about your perspective on citizen development, the future of process automation. So I think who is complaining with this podcast that nothing is in for the person, then probably is
we need to let the audience judge on that one, but you're absolutely right.
But what we want to do now is to close it, get five quick answers, very spontaneous answers from you, André. And I know you told me that you are already scared of the five questions. Maybe just a little bit. And you know the drill. I will just start asking the questions and you answer as spontaneous as possible.
Okay.
So first question, if you had to invest 1 million now, euro, let's say, into a risky deal, what kind of deal would that be?
Elon Musk and X.
Okay, that's a risky deal.
I would agree.
So buying stock options there.
Yeah.
Or stock options that it will...
Yeah. Maybe you're part of the next Musk thing, or you're part of the next downturn of where Twitter.
Definitely an unexpected deal, yeah?
Cool. Exactly.
Then one unexpected thing have you learned recently?
Put it like that. I'm a father of a 3-year-old. Mm-hmm. I have to deal with unexpected things on a daily basis. I don't go into detail, but have a kid yourself and you will figure out.
Yeah, cool. So then I like the answer. Then the third question is, what was the most interesting data you have ever discovered?
I'm not a statistical person, but there's something. It's actually coming from Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge basketball fan. You might see by my sneakers. Michael Jordan once said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And that stuck with me because, first of all, he's a very impressive person. He's the greatest of all time basketball players. But you miss all the shots you don't take. And that somehow stuck with me. And it became, maybe call it my mantra, let's just give it a try. Let's do it. You know, don't shy away from the opportunity, even if you're scared of the outcome. Take the shot. If you're not taking it, you already missed.
Right? I love that. Yeah, always the sports quotations are great. I really like it. My favorite one, by the way, is from Markus Rühl, the bodybuilder. He's now training also the one who could beat Chris Bumstead now in the next Mr. Olympia.
Hit me. What is it?
Yeah, and he said, if you train conform, you will also look conform. Like, yeah, and it's quite similar.
Pushing the boundaries.
Pushing
exactly.
the boundaries.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Then the next question is, if you would do a job that has nothing to do with IT or business in any kind, what would you have done?
It would be with people or for people. I have to admit, I enjoy working with my team and working with the individuals in the team, right? Like understand the individuals, coach them, teach them, and see them grow and perform. That's something I enjoy. I don't know if I should be a teacher, if I like something like that. And the other thing is, I always dreamt to be a radio moderator. So mm-hmm. somehow this
nice.
Makes a lot of fun for me. I enjoy talking to people, entertaining people, playing music for them. And if you're in the radio, you don't get feedback. So you're mm-hmm. you're disconnected from if nobody likes it. But yeah, a radio moderator or something with people.
Yeah, I like the radio moderator
thing. Yeah?
That's cool. Yeah. Maybe we can do regular podcasts.
Absolutely. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, cool. And what made you recently stronger is the last question.
I'll give you a funny answer. I did a workout this morning, right? If you're like me, if you're beyond 40, you have to keep your body in shape. And I do an old man's workout and strengthening my back and my core. That helps me to cater for my son and for everything else. So that hopefully this morning made me
what
stronger.
What is like an old man training? Is it Kisa training? Or what?
It's a lot of stretching. It's a lot of you're doing with a Faszienrolle and stuff like that. So it's about staying flexible. It's also doing a bit of cardio and a bit of weight, but it's you know, training your core strength. And that's what I do. And it's also good to blow off some steam by working out a little bit. And I hope it made me stronger or will make me stronger in the future.
And it's also last comparison we can take maybe to citizen development. That's also for people trying out things that maybe are pain in the moment, learning something new, but then it will make them and the organization stronger in the end.
Exactly. That's why I hope that at least, I mean, the mistake from a company perspective would be to neglect that the opportunity is there. Go in there, try it out, trust your IT department and your citizen developers. Make sure they collaborate. I mean, fusion team development and fusion team collaboration is crucial because there's a lot they can learn from each other. So yeah, try, fail fast, and try again, I believe, is also a good approach for citizen development.
Cool. Thanks. That's a nice ending of the podcast. Thanks for doing the interview with me, Andrea.
It was a pleasure. Hopefully we can do this again one time.
Cool.
Thank you.